call the Rules Committee to order. Senator Newman, Senator Stump is here. Senator Skoy is here. We have a quorum. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Madam President.
Senate File 2782.
Mr. Chairman, last year, thank you very much, with Senate File 2782, last year we made some changes in updating and modernizing the campaign contribution limits for partisan races and for the legislature and for constitutional offices. And what this bill does is to also update the contribution limits for local government officials. They run in nonpartisan races, but they, just like us, have experienced increased costs over the years. And so what the bill does in Section 2 is to, in an election year, raise the limit of an individual contribution from $300 to $600, and in a non-election year, raises it from $100 to $250. I've worked on it, that's Section 2. I've worked with Secretary of State's office and local government organizations about the requirements regarding filing the reports and making sure that they're done on a timely basis, but that it doesn't produce an undue burden on local governments, particularly those that don't have websites. Maybe 10 years from now, everybody will, no matter how big or small they are, but right now that's not the case, and so we just want to make sure that the reports are available to the public for a period of 1 year. But the meat of the bill is actually bringing the local government contribution limits into kind of sync with the limits that we ourselves enjoy, and quite frankly, it probably should have been done in last year's bill. And the issue came to my attention through a letter that the chair of the Hennepin County Board's, Mike Opat, and I believe it's in your packets as well, wrote to Representative Winkler requesting consideration of this change. And there is no opposition to it that I know of.
Senator Sieben moves adoption of the subcommittee report on Senate File 2782. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Senator Rest, anything further?
That's it.
Would anybody like to testify on the bill? No local government officials want this?
Yes.
Senator Newman?
So moved.
That's a good idea. Senator Newman moves Senate File 2782 as amended be recommended to pass, and this will go to the floor.
That's correct.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Rest. Any sign of Senator Marty?
No, he's still in
committee. Senator Sieben.
Mr. Chair and committee members, I think listed first, did you want to do Senate File 2302?
That's fine.
So, Mr. Chair and members, this bill simply allows or simply requires that watershed districts that are located only within the metropolitan county in the seven-county metro area, that their supervisors be elected by districts. And it's my understanding that then these districts would be determined by in the similar lines or the same lines as county commissioner districts. Right now that happens only in Washington County in the seven-county metro, and this bill would require that it happens in the rest of the seven-county metropolitan area.
Senator Sieben moves the subcommittee report on Senate File 2302. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Contrary, no. The motion prevails. Members, we have the subcommittee report, or the engrossed copy of it. It is 2302 CE1. We'll be working off of if anybody has. Council tells me there's a small technical change to the engrossment. Council?
So, Mr. Chairman, on line 1.9 of the 2302 CE1 document, the reference to subdivision 2 should be corrected to subdivision 4.
Senator Sieben moves on line 1.9 after subdivision, delete 2 and insert 4. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Senator Stump.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Sieben, do you know how they're elected or what kind of a district they run in now?
Mr. Chair and Senator Stumpf, as I said, Washington County does have their watershed districts distributed by county board lines or by districts, but the other districts, the other counties do not. This bill came to me from folks in Dakota County who wanted this changed, and in Dakota County, I can speak to that area. There's a great discrepancy between the districts are determined by geography, so they're geographically determined as opposed to population wise. So what happens now in Dakota County is even though the population is mostly in the northern part of Dakota County, they have fewer representatives on the Soil and Water Conservation Board because the lines are drawn geographically. It's my understanding that that's similar to what some of the other districts are doing right now. In the subcommittee, we had the mayor of West St. Paul come in and testify about why he thought it was important to change to a more proportional representation system so that the districts weren't drawn on geography but more on more comparable sizes along population. And I have a chart that shows the difference in population. For instance, this has all the different counties. One district, the Watershed District 5 in Dakota County represents 3,000 people, but in District 1, they represent 210,000 people. And in Carver County, District 2, someone represents 6,000 people, and in the largest district, they represent 50,000 people. Looks like the same difference in Anoka County and in Ramsey and Scott, although the spread isn't quite as dramatic as that. But for instance, in Scott County, someone represents 10,000 people and another 62,000.
Mr. Chairman and Senator, you may have a different rationale. I mean, I could envision a situation where you have all urban supervisors making decisions on environmental practices or conservation programs that really are quite a ways away from where they actually live. And you know, I haven't really thought about this, but it seems like in this particular area, geographic representation might be more important than population representation.
Mr. Chair, the other point that my staff just reminded me of is that right now, everybody in the county of Dakota County elects all five supervisors. The person has to live within that geographic district, but what's happening is then, what I said before is that's just something else I think to keep in mind that may speak to why it makes sense to change, because you want the if you want someone to represent the district, they should live in it, which they do now. But what's happening now is there are people running for office that, like I said, they can be voted in by the entire county, but only represent 3,000 people versus representing 210,000 in a different portion of the county.
Senator Stump, further concerns? Seems like if the entire county votes, the areas with the largest population are going to determine who the winner is, but the winner at least will be from the district under this. Is that correct, Senator Sieben?
No, Mr. Chair, that's how it is now. I mean, that's how it is now, where the person has to live in the district that they represent. They have to run from that district. And under the proposal, they would have to be from that county commissioner district, or now it would be called their watershed district area, and be elected only from that district, not countywide.
So voters in other districts would not be able to determine the outcome like they do today.
That's correct. I think one positive, too, is that it would force those commissioners who are representing the whole district and making decisions, for the whole county, to be responsive to the whole county, not just their district that they're hoping to represent.
Senator Stump, further concerns or?
Well, it's narrowed down to the 7 county metropolitan area, which doesn't. Definitely will have an effect on who represents what area, but I guess if this is something that they want to do, that's fine. One example I was trying to think of is watershed districts. Now obviously this isn't watershed districts, but where you actually the geographic area is very important because of watershed districts don't really follow defined boundaries, and so I think look at this in somewhat of a similar way, but I think you make a good point in that. People need representation, and I guess I can't argue with that.
Members, any other questions? Senator Sieben? Would you like to testify on the bill?
Mr. Chair, members, Sheila Vanny with the Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts. Respectfully, we would like to go on record in opposition to this bill. We do support the current statutory provisions that offer SWCDs the option of being elected this way. Especially in the 7 county metro area, you have situations exactly like the one in Dakota, where the population is concentrated in one part of the county, but that is not necessarily reflective of where the land and water resource concerns are. They would most likely be geographically distributed throughout the county. And in the SWCD that has voluntarily chosen to go this route, Washington Conservation District, it's actually one of the county/SWCDs that has very even population distribution. So it does match up nicely with population and geographical distribution. So we're concerned that three or four out of the five of an SWCD board in Dakota, for example, would be in that very upper northern tier of the SWCD and may not have a firsthand knowledge about the landscape and the land and water resource issues in the two-thirds of the southern part of the county. And so we have concerns about this change. Respectfully, we would like to continue operating under the flexibility that the current statutory provisions provide.
Senator Sieben, I sense the bill might need a little bit more work. I guess I'm sensitive to those concerns. Senator Sieben, if we were to lay it over and see if we could work something out, would that be okay?
That'd be fine, Mr. Chair.
Chair lays over Senate file 2302, the CE1 engrossment, as amended. Senator Sieben, Senate file 2390.
Mr. Chair, this is the election administration bill that these changes were brought forward by the Secretary of State's office in conjunction with local election officials. There are 18 different provisions that are outlined in the summary. If the committee is willing, I was interested in moving the A4 amendment, which is the dissolution of election districts for South St. Paul School District that this committee already passed. And it's just a way to this provision, I don't remember hearing any opposition to the South St. Paul School District, and I just, South St. Paul really wants it to happen this year, so I thought if we could attach that bill to this election administration bill, it's just one more way to kind of make sure I get it done this session.
Senator Sieben moves the committee subcommittee report on Senate file 2390. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
No, motion prevails.
And Mr. Chair, do you want me to go through the different, all the 16 or 18 different provisions of the bill?
Sure.
Okay. And the Secretary of State's office is here.
But we'll be working off the CE1 engrossment.
Right. Section 1 clarifies that employees of residential facilities don't need to be eligible to vote in Minnesota to vouch for employees of the facility. This is really a border issue where we heard testimony about how a residential facility may have employees who live across the border in Fargo, for example, and this would just clarify that those employees would still be able to vouch for that they know that they can vouch for residents only of that facility. Section 2 reduces paperwork by providing the Secretary of State with the authority to suppress the records of Safe at Home participants. So, and Ms. Frazier can correct me if I don't explain this correctly, but right now the Secretary of State is not allowed to modify records within the statewide voter registration system. They have to ask counties to do it and then get that information back from the counties. And only for the Safe at Home participants, who are people who are victims of domestic violence, the Secretary of State would be able to keep a separate file so that those victims' information isn't going out to the counties and then coming back to the – did I get that correct?
Mr. Chair and members, Beth Frazier with the Deputy Secretary of State. So we're not allowed to make changes to voter records, and so we have to get designations of authority from the counties in order to make changes to records of Safe at Home participants, and which means that we're in a constant chase with the counties as county auditors change to get an updated delegation of authority. This would just give us the authority to make changes just for participants of that program, and the counties are fully supportive of this change.
Section 3 is a technical correction that we changed from last year when we made changes to the absentee ballot periods. Section 4 requires county auditors to send ballots to military and overseas voters by express mail if they miss the deadline for sending out ballots. Mr. Chair, I'm going to ask the Secretary of State's office to finish summarizing the bill, if that's okay.
So, sorry, Mr. Chair, the sections changed a little because of an amendment in the last committee, so the section numbers are a little off now. Section 4 clarifies that under federal law, records cannot be or can be inactivated in the system but not actually removed from the system. Sections 5, 6, and 7 allow the names of those with accepted absentee ballots to be public before Election Day. Section 8 requires county auditors to send ballots to military and overseas voters by express mail if they miss the deadline for sending out ballots. This could be helpful with the Department of Justice if that occurs. Section 9 provides a start date for write-in candidates to register to have their ballots counted, which would then coincide with the beginning of the filing period. Section 10 adds step-parents to the list of relatives prohibited from serving as an election judge in the same precinct. Sections 11 and 12 are technical corrections to account for legislative changes last year to allow mail ballots to be processed on the same timeline as absentee ballots. Section 13 clarifies the Voters' Bill of Rights to make it reflect the time-off allowance in other law, which only applies to state and federal elections. Sections 14 to 17 are technical corrections removing references to colored ballots. Section 18 mirrors language found in Chapter 412 for statutory cities. Section 19 standardizes the affidavit of candidacy for city offices. Section 20 prohibits a school district from holding a special election on the date of the March township election if the school district includes a township with an election on that date. This provision is actually a very high priority for both the Township Association and the School District Association. Section 21 provides in statute the form of the question to be used in the case of a recall. And Sections 22 to 25 standardize a ballot question to the common yes or no format.
Questions, members?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Sieben, going back to Section 4, I'm not sure if I understand what, if a voter wants to get their name removed from the voter record, why isn't that allowed? And why is it the record only inactivated? It seems to me if someone is, like, leaving the state and says, I want to remove my name, you should remove it, not inactivate it. And
Mr. Chair. And Senator Han, under federal law, we're not allowed to remove information from the statewide voter registration system. Inactivating the record means that it will not show up on any public list or on the voter roster in the polling place. So to the extent that the voter is concerned about it showing up publicly, it is removed. It's just if somebody searched for that name specifically, it is still in the database, which is required under federal law.
Chair, so just to clarify, and I'm not a member of the election committee, if someone dies, their name is never removed from the election register, the voter register?
Mr. Chair and Senator Han, if someone dies, their voter record is marked deceased but is retained in the database. But it does not show up on public lists or on the voter rolls.
And Mr. Chair, so if someone were to gain the awareness of a name that was inactive but on the list and voted in that name, would that potentially be a problem, or would that be processed as, well, I guess this inactive name is now back active? How would that work? In other words, if someone were deceased and someone else were able to obtain that name and dummied up a document or did whatever and became a voter under that name, what would be the way the system would identify that that's a deceased voter?
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Han, whenever anyone registers to vote, the first thing the county auditor does is searches the system to see if there's already a voter record for that person. So if they pulled up a voter record for somebody who was flagged as deceased, I think it would raise some questions about this person's status.
And Mr. Chair, what about being removed for another reason? Say the person wasn't deceased, but they moved out of state.
Well, Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, people move out of state and back into the state all the time. Or vote and then don't vote for several years and their record is inactivated and then they begin voting again. So it's fairly normal when somebody registers for the county to search for the record and find that the person has a record and then update the record to reflect new information.
And Mr. Chair, my question again is that if I'm a voter and I'm going to move out of state permanently to the state of Illinois or Indiana, and I say I want my registration removed, and if we say, well, we're not going to remove it, we're just going to inactivate it, wouldn't that open the opportunity for somebody else to vote in Minnesota in my name and claim to be me, and that would be on the registration? And it just seems to me that if a voter knows they're going to be leaving the jurisdiction and asked to have their name removed, why wouldn't we remove it? I just don't understand the logic of that.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, the simple answer is it's against the federal law. The other answer is that there is nothing that just because you have an inactive record in the system, it doesn't make it any more or less likely that somebody is going to come and try to pretend to be you and try to vote in your name.
And Mr. Chairman, I think maybe the last question. So we have been in violation of federal law for however long we've had the statute because it does say remove and now it's being changed to inactivate.
Mr. Chair and Senator Hand, we have not been in violation of federal law because county auditors have not been removing records. And so to the extent that any person in the public is reading this law and believes that they can have their record removed, we are clarifying it for them to indicate that that is not an option.
Anybody, anything else? Senator Thieben?
Mr. Chair, if the committee is still willing to add on my South St. Paul school language, I'd appreciate it. That's the A4 amendment that's in members' packets. And this is the language, I believe, that passed out of this committee.
And Senator Thieben, this is a previous bill that we moved out of here earlier. Is that correct? Not language we haven't seen before. Senator Thieben moves the A4 to the CE1 engrossment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Senator Thieben moves the CE1 engrossment of Senate file 2390 as amended. Any discussion? Not all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Thieben. Senator Marty?
File 2454 is one of the on-session cleanup bills, and the reason it was in the Elections Committee, and by the way, I think if the chair is here, I think they have a subcommittee report or something.
Senator Marty moves the subcommittee report on Senate File 2454. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Senator Marty, the bill is now.
Mr. Chair, the provisions in here that relate to this committee, the Rules Committee, were sections 7 and 8, I believe, which relate to soil and water conservation districts, consolidation of them. I think Sibley and Nicollet County have asked to consolidate and so on. We're changing the procedure for that here. In the current system, they can, through petition, have referendum in both counties and both districts, and at that point can make the change. This is one that, for simplicity's sake, if both conservation districts want to merge, they would petition the Board of Water and Soil Resources, and the board would put out public notice, and there'd be public comment period, and so on. And the board could decide if it's in the public interest of protecting waters and so on that they could merge them, and then the districts would be, in other words, would be like two counties together in one. And Mr. Chair, this is one that I think the hope is that to avoid redundant office staff to consolidate in some of the counties, there's a desire to, they think they can be more efficient when they're working with other counties on this. I only know of, again, the Sibley-Nicollet County desire to do this, and this was part of the bigger bill, and because it's an election provision, that's before you.
Questions, members, on the provisions that are pertinent to elections? Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Marty, you had mentioned Sibley County has made a request for this. I will tell you that I represent Sibley County, and I have not heard anything from anyone in Sibley County either for or against this bill. So I guess my first question is, can you tell me who has come to you from Sibley County requesting the change in Section 7?
Mr. Chair, nobody has come to me on it. This came from Bowser and the administration, and apparently it's the board, the Soil and Water Conservation District boards, they have talked about it. I don't think they haven't said, we're going to do this. They're saying they're interested in this, and the administration felt that, you know, if these boards want to work together and so on, they thought this would be a better process. But I don't know. Again, I've talked to nobody about this. I was just told that that's one area where they might take advantage of this. And again, I don't know that either of the boards has said they would like to do it. I think they've been talking about how they can manage this more efficiently.
Senator Newman, is that a county in your Senate district?
It is. And that's specifically, sure. Mr. Chairman, why I'm raising the question, and because I have not had any input one way or the other on this. This would be an issue of first impression for me.
Well, I think I think our thought would be we wouldn't take it up on the floor until you were comfortable with that provision. You could maybe circle back with some people back at home.
It's going to be to go to the floor with the bill.
Is this code of finance?
Yes, but I would commit that we wouldn't take it up on the floor until you were comfortable with the provision pertinent to your district.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Newman, yes, and this is not specific to there. This would be so any of the districts that wanted to consolidate could go through this process. But again, if you have strong concerns, yeah, let's talk about it then.
And if I could ask one more question, Mr. Chair, thank you, and Senator Marty. Looking at Section 7, the new language says the state board shall take action if there's a petition signed by a majority of the supervisors of the affected districts, whereas it looks like language is being stricken a petition could be submitted by at least 100 resident owners. And I haven't read this before just now, Senator Marty, but it feels to me like we are removing local control and giving it to the state board, and I'm just uncomfortable with that. If you could address that,
Mr. Chair, Senator Newman, what the current process is, and again, we have I think 91 soil and water conservation districts I think in the state, and the process right now, which none have gone through. Is that 100 residents, I think, in each of the districts, and again, in most cases as counties, petition to do it, and then there's a referendum in both counties and so on. This would replace that referendum with the two boards voting for the majority to do it. Again, they would have to stand for election, but again, it would be how big their soil and water conservation districts are would be changed. Again, if there's strong concerns about it, I understand, and some philosophically don't want to do that. So,
thank you, Senator Marty.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Marty. So currently these soil water conservation districts are elected officers, and they're in place because their county has held a referendum and decided to have a soil water conservation district with elected members. If this change goes into place, you could have soil water conservation districts making these changes without going through the referendum, and the boards would be the only authorizing authority?
Mr. Chair, Senator Skoy, they are all, every part of the state has these. They are all elected. They would remain elected. It's just a question of whether the district is, I mean, a couple of cases, I think maybe one in your district where there's a half-county one, where there are two of them half-county ones. But the rest of them are county-wide. And this would be, if they want to, they are elected now. They would remain elected. The previous bill, they were discussing whether they, in the metro area, where they'd be elected county-wide or elected by district. But under this bill, they'd still be elected. They'd still be elected under the system they are now. The only change would be if the boards wanted to pull together, work together, they could, they'd be elected in, a two-county area if it's two counties working together. So the voters would still have to say there. The change would be, and again, it's point Senator Newman mentioned, right now the only way it can be done is if there is a referendum in each of the two districts. And this was an attempt to consolidate them if they want to, because a lot of them, the resources, the cost of staffing them and everything else, figuring they can work together more efficiently. If the body's not comfortable with it, that would, then the old system would prevail. But, I mean, I keep thinking, and again, it's certainly different in different parts of the state. In Ramsey County, it's one of those things like the judges, well, you get questions the day before the election. Who should we vote for this? Because people don't know any of the supervisors. And
Senator Skoy.
And Senator Marty, you are right. There is two counties that have in the past worked together as a soil water conservation district. So if they have a joint agreement like this and have these elections, would, based on the percentage of land or whatever, would some of the members come from each county? Would they be districts? And
Mr. Chair, it would be the same as it is now. They would be coming from districts, and as the discussion in the previous bill is, they are elected county or district-wide. So if it was, say, the county example I gave because I had heard they may be interested, if those two counties, if one of them had three times the population of the other, then the county, the district lines that they would draw means you'd have to have people from those areas. You run from that area, but the entire district votes for you. You're elected at large, but you have to live in whatever district it is. So you'd have the roughly, I mean, if you have five-member district in two counties, it's going to be pretty roughly so, but they're supposed to be roughly population or area-based. I'm not sure what it's based on.
Mr. Chair, so there'd be geographic distribution of the members.
Members, any other questions? Senator Marty moves Senate File 2454 be recommended to pass. This bill goes to the floor.
And Mr. Chair, I will be in touch with, Senator Newman will be in touch with me about these concerns.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick comment. I know this. I don't serve on policy committee, so I don't have a chance to look at a lot of the unsession bills. But I did note, obviously, the number of pages of repealer, but at least within the bill itself, I noted that there were 52 lines of statute eliminated and 60 lines added. So we're going in the wrong direction. Because that's plus 8 for new lines of statute.
Mr.
Senator Marty, Senator Cohen, the governor is your constituent. Maybe you could make him aware of his department's bill here and how it's impacting reducing the volumes of statute.
Mr. Chair, if you Senator do Marty. Count the repealers, some of which is what the new language is modified, if you count the repealers, we are getting rid of a lot of stuff in the I don't think the sole goal should be the least number of words, but we are getting rid of many obsolete things that we should be getting rid of from questionable practices and changing things.
Any other questions, members? Senator Marty renews his motion that Senate File 2454 be recommended to pass. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
If you're no, motion prevails. Members, I believe we were supposed to send Senate File 2390 to Judiciary, and I don't believe we did that. So Senator Sieben renews her motion on moves to reconsider the action by which the committee sent Senate File 2390 to the floor. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. Senate file 2390, the committee engrossment as amended is in front of us. Senator Sieben moves that Senate file